Wow. Thank you very much, Hoffman family and crew and band and all the above. You know, that song is a special song because according to Revelation, we will sing that one day around God's throne. My friends, for us who are servants of the King, for us who are in the battle, for us who know the sufferings of this present world, we live for that day. Amen?
Amen.
I love the missions group. Is the missions group out there, by the way? I guarantee worldview's not anything like that. Is that true? Like I thought. And leadership, I mean, they're probably... But nothing like missions. Wakama Yevazi Boy? Praise the Lord. It is so good to be with you. It is so good to be among you. It is so good, actually, to have consistent electricity. You know, in Africa, we have these conferences, and it's kind of like, electricity goes out. You know, it's really a bummer. But you guys even have these air things, which are amazing. I mean, these, what are these things? Clouds? What are they? Fog? I don't know. You know, I'm... But it's just good to be with you. You know, I want to, before I get going anywhere, I don't know if Jeff Dalrymple is here. Is Jeff here? Jeff's not here. How about Sean? All right, they're all like getting the loser awards. And Joe, is he around? I know that they're doing some other things. You guys, let me just say something. Those guys are just great guys. And they have done so much for you. You know, they're not here, but say as loud as you can. Let them hear your appreciation. So later on, you guys go up, give them a hug, give them a kiss. I don't care. You know, just do something to appreciate them, all right? As well, I do want to say something about two dear, dear friends of mine. Dan Dumas, I don't know if he's around. Dan Dumas right here. This guy's a legend right here. Dan, actually stand up, just greet everybody. I don't know if they know you, but he's like way up there, the vice president. You know, he counsels Al Mohler. You know, am I allowed to say that on tape? No, I'm just kidding. No, but Dan Dumas is just an incredible guy, and he is the mastermind behind a lot of this. And as well, when you go around the campus and see some of like the, see everything. I just got a tour today and all that he's done. He's pretty much redone everything to this campus. But more than anything else, he's just a man that loves the Lord. And his heart is to love you. His heart is to encourage you. And I am indebted to him. He came to Uganda. He is the first guy to come to Uganda and take 3 showers a day. He's amazing. No, I'm just kidding. But Dan is such an encouragement to me and such a lover of the Lord, and I hope you guys get to know his heart at some point. Actually, I'm here because he said, Shannon, I want you to speak in my place. Is that not a servant of the Lord? And thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate that. And one other thing. You guys don't know Eric Bancroft, but I know him as a friend. And he, like Dan, is the real deal. He just loves the Lord. And he is such an example to me and encouragement. So I want you to know when he's up here speaking, I want you to see his heart. And just know that he's a guy that is totally radical for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And so it's just an incredible joy to serve with these guys. And I'm thrilled. I didn't realize until they emailed me that they were going to pay me for this thing. And I'm like, why are they paying me? I would do it for free. Just because I just considered it an honor to serve with them. Well, let's pray and then let's jump into the Word of God together. Father, we love you. Father, we are in awe. Lord, we look forward to the day we will stand around your throne. And we will say, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is the Lamb. And Lord, we long for the day when you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We enter into the kingdom. You give us the crown of righteousness of which we turn around and put before your feet. And we declare at the top of our lungs, worthy is the Lamb. We long for the day when we cry out with the heavenlies of your greatness. Father, but we're left here on this earth. Until then, we want to be faithful servants of you who honor you with our lives. Help us to that end. Lord, inscribe your word that I teach tonight into the depths of these people's hearts. Lord, in my weakness, shine forth the praise, glory, honor of your name. Amen. I get one opportunity to address you from here. And I thought to myself, what should I teach you? What should I teach you to make you better leaders? What should I teach you to make you successful missionaries? What should I teach you to help you grow to have an incredible worldview? And one passage came to mind. It's Psalm chapter 1. The reason Psalm 1 came to mind is because if there is any passage that has impacted my life, it is this passage. This passage to me is my life. And so I come teaching you Psalm 1 because I am a living testimony of the truth of this passage. And I have a goal this evening. My goal is that you would see this passage and God would rub it into the depths of your soul and it would become you. It would become what you are about. It would become what you are passionate about. And that one day when you get old and gray, you can say with your kids, Psalm 1. I believe this is the key to life. I believe in this room there are many here that want to live for Christ. How many here want to live for Christ? Come on, how many? Let me see it. Uh-huh. You want to live for Christ, but let me to be honest with you. I know there's many here that are struggling. There's many here that want to live for Christ, but if you're honest with yourself, you are failing day to day. And I understand that. When I was your age, some of you, I wanted to live for Christ, but I didn't even know how to live for Christ. And I came upon this passage, and I believe I learned the secret of living for Christ. See, before I did it in my own strength. But when I came to this passage, I learned how to do it in the strength which God provides. So I want you to see this passage with me. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm chapter 1. And let's look and see the key to spiritual maturity. My friends, in this psalm, we are going to see two roads. One, two, okay? Two. We're going to see two roads. We are going to see the road to spiritual maturity, and we are going to see the road to failure. We are going to see the road of the blessed man. And we are going to see the road of the wicked man. We are going to see the road to spiritual maturity. And we are going to see the road that leads to immaturity. We are going to see the road that leads to spiritual production and the road that leads to spiritual instability. The road that leads to spiritual nourishment and the road that leads to spiritual starvation. We are going to see two roads. And my friends, in this room, you here are on one or the other road. You just need to know. You are on one or the other road. And so I want you to take a look at yourself. I want you to evaluate what road you're on. Right now, you are at a junction. You are either on this road or you are on this road. What I want to do with you now is I want to first look at each road. And then what I want to do is look at the four choice, practical choices that the righteous man makes. The man who walks on the righteous path makes. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Si. Kale is what you say in Luganda. Are you ready?
Kale.
Kale. Good job. Look with me at Psalm chapter 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the, nor stand in the path of. Missions is just a great group. Thanks, guys, for helping lead that. And nor sit in the seat of. But his delight is in
the
law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and. He will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, which leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he
prospers.
The wicked are not so. They are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. Here we see two roads. First, what I want us to look at is the road of the blessed man. The road of the blessed man. He says in verse 1, how blessed is the man. How blessed is the man. This word blessed is emphatic in Hebrew. It actually is, it's a declaration, and that the word blessed is actually repeated, and that the idea is how very, very happy is this man. How many of you want to be happy? Come on, how many want to be happy? Of course. Thank you. And in verse 3, we see a picture of this blessed man. Look what he says. He will be like a tree firmly planted. There are five characteristics he's going to give us of this blessed man. The first is he, verse 3, he will be like a tree, what? Firmly planted. What is he saying? First characteristic of this man is he will be firmly planted. Meaning he will be strong. He will be spiritually strong. Nothing will move him. He will be stable. Immovable. Planted in such a way where there's strength in him. The second characteristic they give is that he is planted by what? By what? Streams of water. Is it one stream or two streams? Many. By streams, plural. Important. Listen, what he's saying is this man is spiritually planted by streams. Meaning it's not one stream that may get dried up, but there's multiple streams. He has all the spiritual nourishment he needs. Oh, friends, you won't get dried up. Some people say, Shannon, wait a second here. You live in Uganda. Who encourages you? Who keeps you strong? No one. But I am strengthened and nourished by the streams. Amina?
Yeah.
You guys want to be a person who's firmly planted? You guys want all the nourishment you need? That's this blessed man. That is the road of this blessed man. The third thing he says is this, that this tree is pictured as it yields its fruit in what? In its season. I love this. Regardless of the good times, the winter, and that's tough around here, I'm told. Rather, regardless of the spring, no matter what, the tree will bear its fruit in season. You guys, let me tell you something. As a young Christian, I was like, Lord, what's going on? Sometimes you feel so dry spiritually. And you're like, man, what's going on? Maybe it was winter. But you just continue to be faithful, and then in season, you will what? Bear fruit. You see, we don't bear fruit continuously. It's not a daily bearing fruit. Sometimes you wonder, why can't I see more fruit? It's because you will bear fruit in season. You want to be this man who's bearing fruit in season, who's strong and nourished by the streams? It says that, and the next picture is that his leaf does not wither. It doesn't wither. Meaning that this man has all the spiritual vitality and strength he needs. He's not suffering from a lack of nourishment in any area of his life. The leaf, you know, you would think on some trees, maybe the leaf is withered here a little bit, but not this man. There is no area in his life that's suffering from a lack of nourishment. Some may still be budding, some may be younger, but everything has nourishment. Wow, that's the kind of Christian I want to be. Amen?
Amen.
Regardless of the way we feel, this tree will be budding and will have strength and nourishment and will be beautiful as God has designed it. And the best part of it all, look what he says lastly about this tree. He says, and in whatever he does, he what? Wow. Friends, you want to prosper in life? You want to be a great leader? Here's how. You want to be a great missionary? Here's how. You know, some of us, we have the goal of being great leaders and missionaries and having this incredible worldview, but inwardly we are a mess. You can learn all the tactics of leadership. You can learn all the methodologies of missions. But at the end of the day, if your character is not godly, you are nothing. Am I right? Well, this is how we get built from the inside out. This is how we create a road where we get on the road to prosperity. That's what our passage is talking about. He's talking about a man who's prosperous, who's strong and nourished in every area of his life and continuously bearing fruit to where he prospers. There are many times in my life, dear friends, where I have seen life fall apart. I moved to the mission field. All the vision and all the passion I get there and every single thing I had vision and passion for fell apart. And I sat there saying, what in the world am I doing here? But I said, look, let me be faithful today. Knowing that God promises to bless me and to cause me to be prosperous tomorrow. That's the promise. There is a road of blessing, but there's also a road of cursing. There's also another road. This is the road of the wicked man. And you know, I don't even like the fact they say wicked man there. This is the road of someone who makes bad choices. Because when we think of wicked, we think, oh, well, that's not me. But the reality is it's probably many of us, to be honest with you. And we're going to see and evaluate the difference between these two people here in a moment. But it says the wicked man, according to verse 5, is pictured as chaff, which the wind drives away. Chaff was kind of part of the grain that they throw up, grain-like materials, and the grain would go up and down. And the stuff that was chaff, the loose part of the grain would kind of just, when the wind came, just go and blow away. And whatever direction the wind went, there he went. Some of you are just like that. The world's going this way, and whoop, there he goes. The world goes this way, whoop, there he goes. The world goes this way, and whoop. Man, you're really good. I like that. There he goes. Some of you guys, you don't have that strength. You don't have that stability. Unlike the tree, this tree, the good tree, this wicked tree has no stability. No ability to stand in life's inevitable trials. No inner girding to hold the anchor of his soul firm through the turbulent waters of life's journeys. And my friends, life is hard. Just like chaff, this man blows wherever the wind blows. I believe so many are like this man. No discernment. Soon as you reach college, it all comes out. Some guy comes around and whoop, there she goes. Some girl comes out and whoop, there he goes. There she, he, I don't know what I just said, but anyhow. But he says in verse 5 that therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The end of the day, these wicked men, they don't even have the ability to stand before God in the future judgment. Their inevitable destiny is that they will not perish. According to our passage, the wicked man has no ability to stand in life's temptations, trials, triumphs, or turbulence. No ability. There are two roads, dear friends. There is the road of the righteous man, and there is the road of the wicked man. And you're already beginning to picture in your life which one you really are. But the question is, which road are you on? Are you on the way of the blessed man, or are you on the way of the wicked man? And please do not assume, well, I'm a Christian, therefore I'm... Let's put away your pride, my dear friends. I have to daily ask myself the same question. And you will know by the choices in which you make. You will know by four things. According to our passage, there are four choices that the blessed man has. If you are making these same choices that the blessed man has, you can honestly say, I am on the road of blessing. If you are not making these four choices, you can honestly say, I am not on the road of the blessed man. Okay? How many choices are there? How many? There are four. Three tell us what we are not to do. One tells us what we are to do. Are you ready for them? Yes. Are you ready for them?
Yes.
Good. Look with me at the first choice. The first choice or the first activity that the blessed man does not involve himself with. Look with me in verse 1. He says, how blessed is the man who what? Everybody look at verse 1 and come with me. How blessed is the man who does not what? Walk in the counsel of the wicked. The focus of this man is on one's counsel. The place in which one's counsel originates. And according to this passage, the righteous man avoids, as a pattern of his life, to receive counsel, advice, philosophies, values from anyone that is without God, or anything that is godless, anything that is not in the Word of God. More clearly stated, this is the person who does not let their minds be saturated with anyone or any agency of men or anything that is not biblical, is not what God in His Word would have us meditate on. Practically speaking, the question is, by what means are your values coming? Another way of saying it in this group is, what is your worldview? What is informing your worldview? This is key. And see, our worldview, it's not just someone sitting over a counselor or a psychologist. We're not just talking about that. Our minds are counseled by the television. Our minds are counseled by the radios. Our minds are counseled by many different things. And the question is what is saturating our minds? What is informing our values? The righteous man does not get his values from the wicked man. He does not come from psychology. He does not go to psychology, but his mind is biblically saturated by a pastor. It is not from television, but it is from the text. It is not from the radio, but from the righteous. It is not from the secular writings, but from the sacred writings that a man's counsel comes. My dear friends, listen to me. Listen to me. I know what it's like to be you. I know what you are bombarded with. When I was in junior high, I got caught up in pornography. It was short by the grace of the living God. But the reality is, you cannot live this Christian life by being formed by that trash. Many of you guys spend more time on the internet than any other place. What is informing your minds? What is informing your values? Some of you, it's your friends on Facebook. That is a god today. And those friends are informing you and counseling you and bombarding your brains. And according to our text, we do not let those, we are not, the counsel which we receive, the value and the information that we receive is not that of the ungodly. That means we need to make choices in our lives to turn certain forms of media, what? Off. What is coming in? What's informing those values? Number one, the man that is the righteous man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Oh, friends, hear me. When I was looking at that stuff, my mind began to become dirty. I began to say dirty jokes, and then I became a pervert. And what happened is I said, God, I repent. And I took those magazines, I threw them over the fence, and my neighbor became a pervert. But I said, no more. And I began to say no R-rated movies. And on my own, I began to make convictions. They aren't legalism. They were the passion of my heart. I wanted to stay away from that stuff. The righteous man will make the same choices. Your worldview is everything. It's everything. And let me just be clear and easy. You want a worldview? Here you go. Don't worry about that. It's just a credit card. Let this form your worldview, period. You can read what this guy says or that. They're all pagan. They don't know what they're talking about. I made that class easy. You all switch and just become Bible majors, you know? No, I'm just kidding. The second thing that this man does not do, according to our passage, it says this. He does not, or nor does he stand in the path of sinners. The focus of the second activity is the path in which one is standing on. That is, the blessed man wholeheartedly avoids the activities that are not proper or godly. The blessed man runs from situations that the Bible cry out for him to flee from. He avoids the path of cheating on tests. He avoids the path of lying to people. He avoids the path of partying. He avoids the path of hanging out with girls he shouldn't hang out with. This involves the path you're on. All of a sudden, a bunch of friends say, hey, let's go here. And you know it's not godly. You know it's not a good thing. You know the path in which you're going, the activities they're involving in are bad. The godly man says, uh-uh. Takes off. There's no way I'm going there. Let me tell you, friends, there's many who are victims of just going one time to the wrong place when they shouldn't have. Just got involved in the wrong activities. The righteous man avoids such paths, avoids the paths of sinners. What sinners like, he hates. What sinners immerse themselves in, he flees from. What sinners say is fun, he says is an abomination to God. There needs to be convictions. What sinners enjoy, he mourns over. Where is the person who loves God's way? We sit around and we play around with stuff that is ungodly. Things of which Christ died for. And in our Christian communities, there is no peer pressure to love Christ. We're all involved in activities that are ungodly. Too often. But the activities and the paths you involve, this will decide which path you are on. I was a businessman for 8 years of my life selling toys. Aflac. I remember one day walking down the road all by myself, and all of a sudden there was a Bad magazine right in front of my path. And I remember coming on it and just thinking immediately, nobody would ever see. Nobody would ever see. I looked at it, and I remember Psalm 1. You see, a man and the path he chooses is determined in those moments. And I put it and threw it away so it would not corrupt even anyone's mind. The third thing that the man, the righteous man, chooses not to do, in verse 1 it says, nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers. Nor does he sit in the seat of scoffers. The focus of this third activity is that the man does not sit among scoffers or unbelievers, the idea is. This is referring to the community in which he associates. This is referring to the friends in which he chooses to have. Oh, dear friends, listen to me. If you want to be righteous, if you want to be the blessed man, if you want to be the man who has a firm path and a prosperous way, it comes down to your friends. You must get rid of certain friends and run with the righteous and run from the wicked. He who hangs with wise men will be, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Bad company corrupts good morals. We know it. But what are your friends? What are your associates? Who are the people in which you immerse your time with? That determines which road you are on. Brothers, sisters, run from those bad friends. Get rid of them. If the question is, do you love Christ or do you love those friends more? That's what it comes down to. You and understand the consequences of loving those bad friends are everything to you. You are not only choosing to love those bad friends, you are choosing to walk on the wicked path. The one that leads to destruction. Is this me speaking or is this the text? Help me out. What? This isn't my advice. I just get to jump on these things and like preach them and like stab you. And you know, it's kind of cool. But you know, these are just basic truths, right? Things we hear all the time in Sunday school. But the issue is this: what are the choices we're making in our lives? All of these things, our friends and the paths we choose, they're all going to influence the paths that we walk in. Those are three things that these people do not do. They do not involve themselves in. There's one thing. The righteous man, what? Does. There's one thing he does, and I want you to see it. I think this is the greatest key to righteous living, greatest key to the blessed road, to be a blessed man. It says in verse 2, it says, but his what? Everyone. But his what? But his what? His delight, his passion, his joy. Delight, not his duty, but his delight. His delight is what? The law of the Lord. That's another way of saying his delight is the word of God. This is his passion. This is his longing. This is his life. He loves it. He yearns for it. He hungers for it. This is his best friend. You see, friends, and because it's his best friend, something happens. What does it say? It says, and in his law he what? And in his law, talk with me. He meditates what? Day and night. There is a passion for this book, and the result of that passion for this book is he longs to be in it, and he is in it day and night. He's in it what? Day and night. My dear friends, listen, please. If you want to be a righteous man, if you want to walk the righteous life, if you want to have prosperity in your Christian life, there is a choice you must make to make this your best friend. To make this the lover of your soul. My friends, when I was a junior high age student, the age of 13 years old, I said no to pornography and I said yes to God's word by the grace of God and nothing of myself. And as a junior high, I began every day to get in this, and it was my conviction, I cannot go to sleep until I've read it. And I would go and I'd fall asleep almost, and then I'd remember I didn't study my Bible, and I would stagger as a young kid up to the desk, turn on the light, open my Bible because of the conviction that I want to be this blessed man. And my friends, my question, is there anyone that wants to be a blessed man? Is there anyone that wants to really be godly in this sinful generation? Or are we all just given over to our pleasures? All want to try and live the Christian life on our own? You can't. You can't. You see, the reason you are failing is because you're trying to live the Christian life on your own strength. Instead of being in the sea of righteous living, you are chosen the sea of sinful living. You see, you're going to jump into a current. This world is a current that's running fast. And the choices you make, these four choices are going to cause you to either get in one current or it's going to cause you to get into another current. This right here is the secret to living. And I want to beg you to believe me. I want to beg you to believe me. My daughter's here. She can tell you. Every morning she meets me one place on my desk with my Bible open because I love this book. Friends, I want you to look into your life. And I want you. My prayer is that God, the Spirit of God, would work on every single one of your hearts and that you would say, I've got to be in the work. I've got to make commitments. I got to get this crud away. I got to get away these friends. I got to stop going and involving myself in these activities. I have to say no, and I have to get into the Word of God each day. And you make convictions like, I will not get on Facebook until I have spent time. And you go and you go, well, you know, it's not, okay, now I'm done. Because is that delighting in the law of the Lord? No. It's doing it to get onto the next gig. We don't need more religious people. We need people that are saturated with a relationship with a living God through a living word. Amen?
Amen.
And my question to you, dear friends, my question is this. Which road are you on? And this is where we just kind of strip ourselves naked and really look. Are you in God's word each day? Is this really your passion? The decisions you make right now will guide the rest of your life. Let me tell you. There's one reason I married the most unbelievable, most attractive, most godly woman in the world. You know what it was? The Bible told me to. A God-fearing woman, who can find her worth is far above jewels, right? Let me tell you, the day I went to marry her, I was freaked out. No emotions at all, afraid. But the Bible said, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways, he shall eat from the fruit of his hand. His wife will be like a fruitful vine in his house, and his children will be olive plants around his table. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And I said, if I fear God, I walk in his ways, I will eat from the fruit of my hand, and I will be happy. And I walked by faith, and I see the blessing every single day. Oh, dear friends, I'm on this journey with you. And I want to come individually and whisper in each one of your lives. Please get on the path of the blessed man. Please. So that one day we can stand at the end of the life and we could say, look at him. Look at him. He made it. Look at him. He's strong and he's firm. Nothing's blowing him over. He comes, a trial comes, and he's firm. Look at him. He's just producing spiritual fruit in his life. Look at him. He has all the spiritual vitality he needs. Look at him. Every area of his life is growing and blossoming. Look at him. He's prosperous. And you will be this incredible trophy of praise for the work of God in your life. Friends, listen. It does not matter what you learn in your tracks. It doesn't matter if I tell you the greatest secrets of missions. It doesn't matter if Dan tells you the most unbelievable things about leadership. It doesn't matter if your worldview has been informed by the greatest thinkers. If you do not choose to walk away from bad influences, if you don't choose to walk away from bad activities, if you do not choose to walk away from bad friends and choose to delight in the law of God and meditate on it daily, you will be a failure in the eyes of God. Your leadership will be doo-doo before God. You will lead people to follow you, but never lead them to follow Christ. You have commitments to make. And I want you to evaluate right now with your eyes closed which road you're on. Bow your heads. And I want you before the Lord to evaluate which road you're on. Which road are you on? What are the influences in your life? Guys, what things are you looking at? What television shows? What movies? What activities are you involved in? What friends do you have? And is it the conviction of your own life and soul to be in God's word each day? If it's not, tell yourself, I am on the wrong road, and make changes. Father God, your word is clear. Your word is spoken. And we now entrust your word upon your children. And Lord, I ask, please, for their own good, inscribe it upon their hearts and incline it to where it's immovable. And that all the rest of their days they remember the great words of the psalmist in chapter 1. We need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, help me to never forsake you, to never lose my first love. Lord, help me in the busyness of my life to sit before you because I need you. Help us, O God, for the praise, glory, and honor of your name, we pray. Amen.